following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
And welcome to Corolla Classics for August 25th, 2019, Sunday show. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. This is a show where we're going to highlight the greatest moments of the Adam Carolla Show. Over 10 years of podcasting right here. My name's Chris Loxamana, executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show, and that is Corolla archivist, superfan Giovanni.
Good morning, everybody.
Oh, we got a great show today. Let's just get right into it. This is from 2017. Dan Soder came in.
Co-host of The Bonfire on Sirius with Big J. Okerson, who's also been a guest. This is Adam Carolla Show 2154. Dan Soder, Vinny Tortorich, Gina Grad, and Brian Bishop. September of 2017. This is just the opening with Dan when he first comes in before the news starts. Just a funny little chat with Dan Soder. Check it out.
It's time for Nicaraguan Name That Movie. With Adam's buddy, Oswaldo. See if you can guess which movie this famous line is from.
I wish I knew what you quick you.
If you said, Brokeback Mountain.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
You're correct. Now, back to the show.
Let me, Dawson, hear Ozzy one more time, because the word is you and I, yeah, and wish.
Basics,
like, these are,
yeah,
things that I feel like if we were in his native Nicaragua for 31 years, mm-hmm, that we could handle.
Sure.
Like, I can say things like K and C and a trabajo,
sure,
and hola and things of that nature. Yeah, let's hear it.
I wish I knew what you quick you.
Wow.
I built houses with that guy. Could you imagine?
How is the chimney not in the basement?
Dan Soder in studio.
Hey.
The stand-ups. You can check out the episodes on Netflix, episode 6. Thanks for coming in, Dan.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Where are you from, Dan?
I grew up in Aurora, Colorado, and then lived in the Bay Area as a kid, and then moved to Tucson, and now in New York City.
I feel like growing up in Aurora, Colorado sounds sane. Is that very sane?
Well, yeah, up until a few years ago.
Yeah, well, there's one incident that...
Aurora, right.
It was mostly like a decaying suburb. So it's one of those things where you have like, middle class, lower working class people, and that kind of like suburban boredom, which leads to a lot of, like shoplifting.
Is, for you, was comedy always the thought, or was it... Did you grow up too far away from comedy and it wasn't a gig?
No, I was one of the first Comedy Central generation babies. Like, we got cable and Comedy Central played a lot of stand-up in the late 80s, early 90s when it first came out. That's like primarily what they played. So you could see it even living in Aurora.
Right.
And then by the time I was a teenager, I kind of knew I wanted to do that. I was a bad student. I was getting kicked out of class a lot for trying to be funny. You know, making fun of my teachers, and then I went.
What are you talking about?
My boy, yeah.
And then I went to Comedy Works when I was 16 and saw Chappelle there, and I was like, yeah.
Comedy Works is in Denver and in the basement.
Yeah, downtown.
Yeah,
one of the best clubs in the country, easily.
Is it? Yeah, yeah. I've played there a bunch of times, and all I remember is there's a P.F. Chang's.
Yeah,
like next door.
That was your impression.
That's your takeaway.
The legendary comedy club.
I get it though. You know what? I know certain clubs where there's like a Ruby Tuesdays.
Yeah,
I can talk in like NOM terms where I'm like two clicks southeast. There's a good Applebee's.
Yeah, you're doing a move where you're pointing at your fingers and then pointing down and doing a move with the Ruby.
I go, we're gonna wrap this up. Tater skins and fries.
Right. No, I remember. I don't remember anything about my kids. I don't know much about my own life. I just know when Mike August says something incredibly stupid to a waitress, and I sort of mark the time by that. Mike August, you could take North America and just break it into two groups and two groups only. And in a world where we now have 150, where you need a sexuality, where there's 150 boxes to click on what you are, you know, you're Greco active or whatever you are. This is a group where there's only two.
Okay.
There are people who have seen The Wire.
Yeah.
And then people who haven't seen The Wire, who need to get punished by the people who have seen The Wire, by constantly wanting to know why you haven't seen The Wire and how much you would enjoy The Wire. That's what Mike August does to me. We travel, and he punishes me for not seeing The Wire. But when we're at the P.F. Chang's, and we asked our young waitress what she was watching, and she said, I watch nothing because I don't have TV, and I don't have cable, and I don't have anything, and thus there was nothing to talk about. At a certain point, she came back to the table, and she went, I do watch The Wire, and Mike went, could we have more pork fried rice? And I said, what? Mike! She watches nothing. She's 26, and now she just announced she watched The Wire, and you want more pork fried rice.
Yeah, this is the one time he could jump into the conversation. He can go deep on season two, or even the schooling season four.
Yes, so I was discussing him, but I remember the club very distinctly now because of that.
Yeah, well, I mean, whatever triggers that memory.
And you went there at what age?
16, I snuck in.
And watched Chappelle.
Chappelle and Greer Barnes opened for him.
Was Chappelle magical?
Yeah, it was insane. It was one of those things where you watched him, and he was like, he shut down like two hecklers. Where you don't see heckling on TV.
So it was
the first time I saw heckling, and I saw Chappelle just annihilate these two guys, and I was like, well, that's insane that he was that quick.
Is there a thing, though, where somebody's so good to a young 16-year-old budding comedian that you're intimidated and think, I could never be that?
Yes, yeah, and I think that's why it took me till I was 21 to start in Tucson. Because I went to the open mic in Tucson to be like, what if they're all like Chappelle? And then you watch an open mic and you go, I can do this.
Yeah.
The next week you were like, I can do that. I'm going to try at least. Because you just, open mics are, it's a circus.
Yeah, no, I know. I've done a few of those. And there's no more bitter. We talked about the scariest guys on the planet. We talked about the guy who's the referee in the MMA or All Valley Karate Tournament.
Yeah.
We talked about the referee in the arm wrestling competition. Mm-hmm. I will add guy who runs open mic night.
I'll tell you.
Not the physicality of those two, but emotionally. Yep. He'll take you apart.
Yeah, it always reminds me of the guy that runs the gladiators in Gladiator, where he's like, you're up, and just don't pee yourself. There's always like a thing where he's seen all the worst that can happen.
Right.
And so even good things happening don't even brighten his day, because he knows there's more bad things around the corner.
I always found it bizarre when they would start sort of weighing in, like they'd go, you see the flashlight, or you see the head of Eddie Cantor light up. That means you're at 2.5 minutes. That means you have one joke, and you say the one joke, and you get off stage, or I will pull the goddamn mic cord out of the goddamn microphone. And then they do this one. And don't end with a story. Tell a joke. Say something fun. And I was like, I don't know. Maybe that's not my style. Like, why are we weighing into this territory?
Well, they also, they hit the light, and sometimes people, I've when I started, there was one set in particular where I didn't even make it to the light. It's the only time I've never made it to the light, where I was just starting premise after premise, and my mouth was dry, and I kept apologizing. I just kept being like, do you guys go on dates? God, it's hot. And then I just bailed, and I sat in the back. You could still smoke cigarettes inside.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat in the back smoking cigarettes with my head in my hand, just like defeated. It's the most defeated I've ever been in my life.
I think I would watch a comedy special of the worst open mics through history.
I don't think you could. I honestly think it sounds good on paper, but you would get three in, and then you'd be like, man, this is real. It's like watching those Faces of Death videos.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where you're like, yeah, I want to see a guy get hit by a train, and then you see it, and the realness kind of seeps in.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't know if I like this.
And plus you come, and now it's time to watch Friends or something else.
And
well, you're right, because the thing about the open mic, when you see, let's say, a unfunny or what you would call, let's say, bad comedian at a club or even somebody bomb or even on TV, they go out on Conan or Kimmel or whatever and they don't have a great set. It's essentially like watching a baseball player strike out.
Yeah.
They struck out, right. But they weren't holding the bat with their hands 18 inches apart. Yeah. They didn't fall when they struck out. Like, yeah. That guy knows what he's doing, but yeah, he didn't make...
You figure he's on the 25-man roster for a reason.
He didn't make contact. Yes. But you can see he's a professional baseball player. When you go to open mics, it is not professionals out there at all.
Yeah, it's one of those games where they like spin around with their head on the bat and then try to swing.
They drink a beer. Yeah. Like, they chug a Molson and then they try to make it to first base.
That's exactly what
it is. It has a name?
Slash ball.
So you're watching non-comedians attempt comedy, and you've not seen that. You won't see it on TV. Right, no. You can see a guy bomb, but you can't see a non-professional bomb.
I think the perfect non-comedy equivalent of watching an open mic or bomb is a world star hip-hop fight. Where there's just like two guys in a subway.
Go on.
You know, and then they like start yelling, and then there's a swing, and then there's like a connection where one guy gets knocked out, and you're like, that's pretty tough. And then the other guy starts stomping on him. You're like, someone from the subway, stop. Like, can a manager leap over the sandwich counter? This is bothering me.
It turns out nobody works in a subway. There's one person that makes sure you don't jump over the gate, and that's the only human being, because people tell me stories where it's like, this guy brought an emu onto the subway, like an ostrich, and this guy plucked it, gutted it, and cooked it. It took him like 7 hours. Everyone just watched him. And it's like, there's never anyone who tells a story about this homeless guy defecated, but a guy in a uniform was on it immediately.
He was quickly apprehended.
I don't think anyone works on a subway. I've never seen anyone intervene or do. It's all, we all stared at this in dismay while the one homeless guy stabbed the other homeless guy.
I would say in 11 years of living in New York City, I've never seen one MTA employee bust up a homeless guy who's taken a car to himself,
right,
and kind of marked it with his territory, that being the smell of hot piss.
Right.
And so I have terrible sense of smell. I can sit on the other end of those cars, and my favorite game is to watch people walk onto the subway and then smell it and kind of be trapped in there with me for a little bit.
It's a little interesting porthole into our way of government, which is, if you jump over the turnstile and cost them $1.10, they're on top of you, like the Fresno Popo is in Catch a Predator when he says, you're free to leave.
Yeah.
And he walks out along. That's how they're on top of you. But if you're simply writing pentagrams in fecal matter on the window while you're in the car, have at it.
Oh, are you
kidding
me?
That's not costing us.
Seven kids doing a whole dance routine where they're flipping and kicking. No one will stop that. But the only two times I've gotten tickets were because once I tried to hop a turnstile, and one time I was leaving the subway with a tall boy in a brown bag, and I just turned, me and my buddy turned a corner, and there was two cops there, and they were like, well, and you're like, all right, well, there's nowhere to go.
I'm going to tell my kids, you know, when we're talking about having it easy, and I'm not from Colorado, so I can't do the hiked in the snow and everything, but there was a time when you could spot a beer, because Coke, Pepsi, 7-Up, and then there was Budweiser and Coors. Now, with the proliferation of the energy drinks, all the crazy teas, the Arizona teas, all the stuff, and then all the IPAs, you can drive with a 16-ounce IPA between and just hit right off it in traffic, and it could be a tall boy tea, energy drink, whatever. You drink whatever you want now. Back in the day, it was
quite obvious.
There was a Shasta over here and Budweiser over here, and you knew what it was.
And the beers had the pull tabs.
Right.
And the cans had the different ones. But now, if you could just bring a 16, if you like left a giant like Shaquille O'Neal energy drink in your door holder and then drove around drinking an IPA, you could just switch it out. And
No need to use the bag.
No.
That's a tell.
Brown bag is gone.
Don't brown bag it anymore. Just walk around drinking your IPA. Yeah. And by the way, there are so many millions of craft beers that are out there that it'd be impossible for a cop to at 60 miles an hour to tell you what it was. It's good times.
It's a real heyday.
We're in the salad days of beer.
Drinking and driving is back, baby.
With a vengeance. All right. So, sorry. Oh, and in Billions, right?
Yeah. I'm very lucky to have a part on that show.
We love that show.
Oh, thanks.
Brian Koppelman calls in every once in a while.
Great guy.
I agree. My wife is binge watching Billions. She's in love with that show. And an upcoming movie coming up?
Yeah, I filmed a part in it. I don't know when it's being released. Drunk Parents with Alec Baldwin and Salma Hayek.
I feel like I'm in on the title alone.
It's funny, really funny. Fred Wolf, who SNL did Dirty Work,
right?
He directed it, wrote and directed it. Super fun to work with him.
And that was Dan Soder on the Adam Carolla Show.
You guys should get him back.
Yeah, I'd love to have him back. And that was a fun chat. All right, this next clip, also, this is very fun. This is a listener request from Liz. And before I read it, I want to remind you, if you want to submit a request, email us, classics@adamcarolla.com, tweet us at Giovanni Giorgio, at Chris Loxamana, Instagram, comment, slide into our DMs, Facebook, whatever.
Find us on the internet.
Find us on the internet, or in person.
Mm-hmm.
Knock on Gio's door. Let him know what you want to hear. All right, so Liz writes in. This is an email request. Hey, guys, thank you for the Saturday Classic Show. I'd love to hear the ACS episode where Gina, Bald, and Adam had to guess whether the sound they heard was a dildo or a power tool. The guest was a woman who sold sex toys. Laugh out loud, funny show. Now, this was a fun game. I remember when we conceived it, we had to find, it was a sponsored segment, so we had to figure out a way to incorporate a sponsor into the show, and luckily it was sex toys. So I remember being in the meeting, and it was me, Dylan, and Matt. And Matt just we're throwing stuff at the wall. Matt just goes, "What if we just played a thing where they had to guess if it was a vibrator or not?" And we kind of panned it off, like, "Okay, we'll just put that in the maybe pile." And then we thought about it for a couple seconds longer. We go on YouTube, we listen to things that sound like vibrators. We're cracking up, and we go, "Okay, this is what we're doing." Good job, Fondelier.
Put a pin in Matt's idea. Pull that pin out of Matt's idea.
Yeah, exactly. We were laughing too much.
Adam Carolla Show 2253, featuring Katie Zavolarin, Gina Grant, Brian Bishop, February 2018. Listen to this. You'll be laughing too much.
All right. I'm going to try to get this. I'm going to try to get our guest name right. Katie is easy.
You can do it.
Zavolarin? If I say it fast, it might work.
That was pretty close.
Katie?
That was perfect.
Look at you. You're a pleaser, aren't you? Director of Public Relations for Adam and Eve for 24 years. So how many times a day do people, when you tell them, like, what do they just get that grin on their face or ask for a favor?
Mm-hmm.
Do you do it? Or do you, like, I say to people, like, I don't know if they know what podcasting is or whatever. I will tell people I don't know. Like, what do you do? I go, I'm a carpenter.
She just goes, I'm in PR.
Yeah. Like, what do you do when people ask what you do?
Well, it depends on the situation. If it's, you know, my kid's teacher or something like that, I kind of tone it down a little. But it's a fun job. And, you know, I'm not embarrassed about what I do.
Adam and Eve started, it says here, as a mail order condom company in the 60s, back when condoms were something. Like, Drew had a girlfriend in high school, and his dad was a doctor, predominant in Pasadena, so he couldn't go to the corner pharmacy.
That's right.
To go buy condoms. You had to buy condoms at a pharmacy. Couldn't get it at 7-Eleven. They all knew his dad. So he had to go to Chinatown, where we all look alike to them, and go in and score a box of condoms.
Smart.
I guess the silver lining to the being a child in the 90s and the AIDS crisis, once you got to college in the late 90s, you just went to the health center and just got them by the handful.
There's buckets
in
the lobby.
There's literally just buckets of condoms, you know, but like the Costco buckets of pretzels, you know what I mean? Like, just
for the office.
Oh, yeah. No, if you went to school like on the West Side in the 90s, there'd be someone like Rip Taylor with confetti, like just throwing, hitting you in the face with condoms as you walk through the metal detector. Just boom. You got to picture Rip. Rip used to throw confetti.
He
used to throw confetti in people's faces. Sorry, Katie. We digressed. So we have a game to play, and these guys worked it out. It's do we have an opening for it?
We do.
All right, why don't we play it? Katie, you play along with it.
It's time to play Is It a Vibrator? Brought to you by Adam and Eve.
Hey, Katie, what are the big sellers for you over at Adam and Eve? And not for you, but for Adam and Eve.
Well, right now, the Satisfier is one of our top vibrators.
Do tell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How does that one work?
Please tell me it's punny, like satisfy her.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is.
Yes.
It's a kind of new technology, and women are really going crazy over it. It has, instead of internal stimulation or, you know, typical external stimulation, it has what is almost like a vortex of air. So it kind of mimics cunnilingus. And,
rips her clitoris right off.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Ryan, you hurt my teeth.
God.
Right. And now there's all these things where the woman wears it and can like walk around town with it and go to work with
it.
And somebody else has a remote.
That's right.
Sometime.
Church and synagogue.
Yeah. And those are really popular.
Those are popular. But I'll tell you, the tell for me is them wearing the solar panel hat. When I see a woman with a solar panel hat, I know what's going on down there. So we have to figure out a way to be a little more discreet with the solar panel hat.
We cut to Gina being let go from the radio station, but she is wearing one of those and I'm controlling it.
All right. You want to try it? Here we go.
Gina.
Yeah. I've never.
Break it to Gina that she's being let go.
Hey, Gina.
Yeah.
You know we're all huge fans of yours around here.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, cutbacks and a lot of the advertisers going over to podcasting and other forms of other medias. We're going to have to. Yeah, okay. People process information in different ways.
Right.
So I understand this part of your grieving process is going on down there. So, look, and obviously, if anyone wants a recommendation or anyone asks me, hey, is Gina Grad a pro? I will tell them. Not that anyone's asked me.
Oh.
So I think it's going to be a lot of.
Oh, God.
It's going to be some pretty dry months for you coming up. You know, I hope you have
this
your affairs
so
in order. I mean, I hope you have your money set aside because the industry is
so
basically dying in front of us.
Yeah.
And I don't see any gainful employment for you whatsoever.
God,
so look at
this
a death sentence. But I know you could probably fall back on your husband's amazing income. Oh, that's right. Right, you're single.
Oh,
okay. But don't worry. You live in a rent-controlled...
No,
you're by the beach.
Expensive.
It's $2,700 a month every month. And some months only have 28 days. You have to pay faster.
This is so disappointing.
All right. I'm going to need you to collect your dying potted plant and your one cat, and please leave your cubicle.
Okay.
I'm gonna have you escorted...
I'm thinking of suing.
...to your Subaru, which you will not be getting free anymore because you've lost your gig here at the station. I'm glad you've taken it like a hero and the... And I'm glad you're taking my words in the spirit in which they've been intended. Thank you. Hey, I'm good at firing people.
Wow. Yeah.
I should fire more people. You guys, get out.
I know I'll leave with a smile on my face.
You shoot us.
Katie, I feel like the vibrators are quieter than that.
That's audience had to know when it was going.
I understand.
It was Gina's internal monologue.
Are they whisper quiet now, Katie?
Some of them are. Yeah, the technology has gotten so much better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There still are some that sound about like that, though.
I remember the old days when I would go into the Army Surplus store, and I'd have the weird guy with the one missing arm behind the counter. And if I looked up, I would see the old just sort of white generic ones. Mm-hmm. But the woman would always be putting it on her shoulder.
Personal massager.
And even when I was 11, I was like, that doesn't seem right.
Ergonomic.
Me.
And at the airport now, they don't look for things that are ticking. They look for things that are vibrating, which has caused a ton of hilarious incidents at the airport.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah.
They're bombs and stuff vibrate. Mm-hmm. Apparently, they don't tick. It's not
a
cartoon.
You're going by train, right, baby?
Yep.
Katie?
Yeah.
How do these products work? Like, is there a... How are they developed? Like, you guys have to have a vetting system. You know what I'm saying?
We
quality
do.
Control.
Yeah.
Like, and we have our own products that are made to our specifications, and then we carry the competitors' products, too. And we have new product meetings where the you know, potential new products are passed around, and sure. We look at all the bells and whistles and how strong the vibrations are.
You guys test them out on your neck, right, where your neck meets your shoulder?
That's right.
Because that's what the lady in the picture
did.
That's
the sensitive spot.
Yeah.
There's a joke, too, that if you put it to, a vibrator to the tip of your nose, if it tickles and makes you want to sneeze, that's the right strength and speed for you.
Interesting.
I'll remember that next time I'm in front of a large crowd.
Browsing at the Costco.
This time they asked me to speak with Dennis Prager in front of a large group at a Christian college. I'll keep that in mind.
That's an interesting fact, Dennis, about World War II. Did you also know?
Hold on. Picture's worth a thousand words. Hold the phone. All right. So, did we play the opening or not?
We did. Now, it's a complicated game, so explain how it works.
Contestants, welcome to Is It a Vibrator? This is a five-round game, and each round we're going to play a buzzing sound. If you think it's a vibrator, you can guess vibrator. If you don't think it's a vibrator, and you can tell us exactly what it is, you will get a bonus point.
Mm-hmm.
If you do think it is a vibrator, and you can name the vibrator that it is,
you win.
Katie has a serious.
You're
going to
get a bonus 50 points.
Why are you looking at me?
So here we go with round one.
All right.
Is it a vibrator?
Okay.
Ooh, it's a steampunk
vibrator.
This is
a new high point in podcasting.
It is. I feel like it's too aggressive for vibrator.
Yeah, that was intense.
I'm going to say it's a pad sander. Now, I have a somewhat unfair advantage, which is I own some things that vibrate.
Mm-hmm. And power tools.
Yes. And I realized that they must have stayed in-house here with some of this stuff. And maybe some of its stuff's my stuff. But Brian, thoughts?
I don't think it's a vibrator. I think it sounds like a... I'm being too specific here, but it sounds like an electric razor, like left on a porcelain, you know what I mean, on the top of a countertop.
Funny you should say that, because I thought if it is a vibrator, the only way they got that sound was to
put it on something,
sit it on a stainless steel table or something.
But I'm gonna go electric razor.
Yeah, right. I don't think there's any way that should go near a vagina.
A woman?
So I'm gonna say no.
Yeah,
Katie,
I'm gonna say no too. I'm not quite sure what kind of tool it is. I was thinking table saw.
Oh.
No. I mean,
maybe.
Okay, yeah, that thing, if I put a raw egg in your mouth, Gina Grad, and I put that thing on your cooch, you would spit out scrambled eggs. And that's just a scientific fact.
Oh my God, there was
coffee
in my mouth.
You can Google it, because that is a fact.
Live show.
Okay? That's not hyperbole. Oh. That's not me stretching my imagination. That is a fact. And if you do not believe me, then you Google it.
Yeah.
Okay?
You are on the top of your game today.
I was just picturing that.
Oh, Jesus.
All right. Dawson.
That was a vibrator.
No! What?
That is the Black Diamond Rabbit.
Yeah, it is.
Which you can get at adamandeve.com.
Now,
wow.
All right, now, if that's on a cookie sheet, it's unfair.
That was definitely...
Us. Can someone tell I'm hungry?
I was going to say.
Eggs, cookies. Food.
Can anyone tell I missed breakfast?
Someone's frothing up some eggs.
Wow. Now, Dylan, you're part of this. What was it? Are these things, maybe a little little clarification. Are these things like sitting on a table, on the floor?
It was held up into the air.
Just held into the air. Okay, so this is
winner
held into the air.
Winner gets a Black Diamond Rabbit.
Khalid style, yeah.
Wow, man.
Wow,
Kitty, is this a big seller over at adamandeve.com?
It is.
I can see why.
I get it.
Yeah. All right.
Ready for round two?
Round two. We're all 0-1. Okay.
Is it a vibrator?
Hmm. I feel electric toothbrush here.
I have an electric toothbrush. It doesn't sound like
me
that.
Too.
But there are obviously many different kinds.
Yeah.
I think this sounds like a vibrator to me.
Yeah, it does.
You know what it sounds like? It sounds like a fluorescent light. You know, it sounds like a vibrating, a halogen light or something.
I get you. Like, they get that fluorescent vibration thing, or buzzing.
Yeah.
Humming
or
whatever.
Have to be
but
turned
that,
up really.
Yeah, that's,
I don't know.
That's a bridge too far for me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like an exceptionally loud and clear version of that, maybe, but I'm going to go vibrator.
Yeah. It also feels.
I can't name the vibrator.
Katie, what do you think?
I can't name the vibrator.
What do you think?
I think it's a bullet vibe.
Oh.
I think it's a vibe.
Oh, you know.
We do a bullet vibe. Bullet vibe.
I am telling you with no hyperbole, if I put a walnut up Gina's ass in the shell. In
you're going to get a Sonoma chicken
in
salad.
The shell. Now, hear me out. No.
You're going to get a nut butter. Salad dressing.
All right. I say it's electric toothbrush.
Okay.
You say vibrator.
Any variety.
You know what? It does. Now that Katie says like a personal compact vibrator, that makes sense.
Now that the expert says.
That makes sense.
I agree with the expert.
I don't
all
know.
Right.
I missed the last
You
one.
Go with the expert.
Let's go with Katie. Yeah,
all
Katie
right.
knows.
I'm the outlier here. Here we go.
That was not a vibrator.
What?
That is a beard trimmer.
Oh.
Should have gone to shaver again.
When you see it, it snaps into focus. All right.
This is tough.
So wait a minute. Am I up? I must be up. Okay, here we go.
Is it a vibrator?
Jesus.
You're going to sand it right off.
Yeah, all right, that sounds too aggressive, but we've been burned before.
We have.
So is she for using that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I'll let Katie go. Well, no, Katie's going to influence us.
Yeah, okay. Of course.
Gina, what do you think?
It can't be. You would end up in urgent care. It cannot be a vibrator.
Okay.
I don't know what it is.
No
it's
vibrator.
Not a vibrator.
Yeah, no vibrator for me. It sounds like something with a motor. So I'm going to say I'm going to go sander. I'm going to go some sort of sander, belt, orbital, something like that.
Let's hear it again.
Although it could be a leaf blower.
It does sound like a sander. Actually, now that you say that.
That's a weird sounding thing. Yeah, I got power tool. God, that's a weird one. It sounds like a vacuum in a weird
Yeah,
way.
I was going to say vacuum.
Yeah, something that blows or sucks.
Well, then it could be a vibrator.
That's right.
The vacuum feels lower. I say it's a right angle grinder. Katie, what do you think?
I'm going with a Dyson vacuum cleaner.
Oh, specific name. All right, here we go.
That was not a vibrator.
Woohoo.
And Brian gets a bonus point. That is a 5-inch orbital sander.
Oh, my God.
Let's hear it again. Oh, that's just running. Yeah, that's what it is. What'd you call it?
I called it an orbital sander.
Oh, that's
I've used
dead nuts
sander
on.
Before.
That's dead nuts on.
I made Christy a Lazy Susan out of a wine barrel top, and I sanded it with an orbital sander.
Wow. Genius hero.
Our guy who did the Mangria, our connection to the Mangria thing, he got me a wine barrel top. I used one, and I sanded it down. And
nice.
Made a Lazy Susan.
Nice job. I feel like I've been outdone in a field I'm an expert in. Now,
but I've been coached up by you.
Okay. Yeah. And a right angle grinder is almost the same action, to be fair to me. But all right.
Yeah,
Now, pardon me for being out. There's a deduction for that, right? Or we should get a bonus.
He gets a bonus point.
So it's a tie.
Brian gets 2 points for that.
Brian gets two
Everyone
points.
Everyone else who said it's not a vibrator gets one.
Right.
Round four. Is it a vibrator?
Oh, no! Okay, question for clarity.
Sounds like a compressor.
I was going to say, if it's like a Sibian, does that count, or are we not counting like...
Wow, Brian, you just really...
Because it sounds like a...
Tipped your hand.
Something that's going in quite a...
Because when I'm on a Sibian...
Well,
it's
tough. It's tough. Because we hearken back to the first one, and we're all convinced that it had to be some sort of an industrial... You know, something to remove wax from vinyl flooring or something. And it turned
it was
out.
A big black vibrator.
It was the big vibrator.
Right. And it has a little, like, rotation sound.
Yeah.
I'm going to say vibrator, not because it sounds like a vibrator, because I'm trying to judge the sort of algorithm of the game. I say vibrator.
I'm saying no vibrator. It sounds to me like someone's trying to start a car and it's not turning over, but obviously that's not what it is. So I'm going to say air compressor.
It does have an air compressor sound.
Is there a power tool that's like a corkscrew or something?
There's an auger bit you could put on a D-handled whole hog with a half-inch chuck.
Okay. For example.
Do you have one of those?
I mean, not just to be sort of generic.
Do you have one of those in the other shop?
I have five of everything.
I'm going with that.
Okay.
Okay.
So not a vibrator.
You're going with a...
make her name it.
Make her...
What are you going with again?
The D...
auger bit.
Yeah.
Handled whole hog on a right angle drill with a half inch chuck. All right. Katie, sorry.
Yeah, I don't think that's a vibrator either.
All right, I'm the only one.
I don't know what I think it is.
This is a vibrator.
Oh, my God.
It is the dancing dolphin.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, and it does like, twirl.
It twirls,
yeah, it twirls.
Right?
It's like one of those, like, plants you sing to. Remember back in the 90s?
Yes, I had one. The sunflower.
Also a vibrator.
Yeah.
I don't know how I know this, but the top...
Katie, is this a dancing doll? Is this a big seller over at AdamandEve.com?
Adam would know. He guessed it.
It is.
Wow.
That seems aggressive, because it also spins.
Hey, Katie.
Yeah.
What states and or countries are big for you guys? Like, red states, blue states? Like, I'm kind of... You send more to, you know, New York than Mississippi, or
but I mean, it's more heavily populated areas,
sure.
Okay. You know, and there are still some areas we don't ship to.
Meaning they don't allow it?
Yeah, the political climate is not so great. So.
Really? And it's not like a Middle East thing. It's like right
Utah,
here.
Utah, probably, yeah.
Like a Utah thing?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. It's so weird. We have such archaic... It's so, again, like once... The internet and Southwest Airlines came along and cell phones. It should all, everything just should have been leftist. Like, it's like there's no difference between Utah and California anymore.
Global society.
Who does, who are the bigger, I mean, I population aside, like who, all things being even, is it a red state or a blue state? Who?
I would say red states.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Kind of counterintuitive, but also feels... Like, that's the way it always works, right?
They may need the toys more there.
That's right.
I want 50 more of these.
I never want to stand. All right, but it's going to. Because
we have one
this
more.
Is going to be the last one. Now, wait. Am I up one?
Here's the score. Adam, you have 3.
Mm-hmm.
Gina and Katie have 1, and Brian has 2.
All right.
We do have a tiebreaker if we need it. This is round 5.
Well, this is an insanely useful skill that I'm going to bring into the real world as soon as we wrap this show. Because I'm really going to up
podcast.
My income. Yeah.
I may be fired over this. I'm not doing so well.
Here we go.
We'll change your answers in post.
Yeah.
Is it a vibrator?
Okay. Wow.
Wow.
This sounds like just generic vibrations to me.
Yeah.
Now... We had the orbital sander, but the orbital sander is a random orbital sander, if you guys know what that does. Well, Brian does, but versus a circular sander, which just leaves swirl marks.
Right.
Yeah, this kind of goes back and forth, and it's better. But we've still never used the pad sander, which is the actual vibrating sander. It's the sander that vibrates.
The one note just kind of...
Yeah, although it would probably sound... Let's hear it again. It would probably sound higher and hummier and more impressive. All right. I'm just going to say pad sander. Gina Grant?
That sounds like an old school vibrator.
Yeah, I'm easy choice vibrator.
Katie?
I'm going to say vibrator too. I think it's a magic wand type vibrator.
Oh, 50 points.
It is a vibrator. Did Katie get a bonus 50?
Oh my gosh,
I might keep my job.
It is the Satisfier Pro 2, the best seller over there at adamandeve.com.
Mm-hmm.
You're still a winner in our book, Katie.
So now we have a tie.
Oh. That's me and Brian.
I love that you guys.
Ladies. Maybe you two should find a mirror and step on it because you don't know your vagine like you think you do.
I guess we've just had too many partners and
turns out the dudes over here.
Yeah, we'll get the job done for you, ladies.
We know the lay of the land.
Am I right up top?
Yeah. All right, tiebreaker.
Oh my God.
Is it a vibrator?
It doesn't sound vibrator to me. But because I will let Brian speak his truth to my power, I will honor him with the final decision, and I will go the opposite.
I The little I know about audio recording, I heard a lot of background air, which means they had to pump the volume up. It's a very subtle vibration. So I'm going to go very small vibrator.
Small vibrator.
Yeah, like one of the pocket things.
I go not a vibrator for the win.
This is a fluorescent light.
Oh! Oh, Gina Grad. Many guesses ago.
Look at you.
You sure know your vibrators, Ace.
That's right. Wait till the kids see Daddy.
We're all winners.
Is it a vibrator? Didn't that feel good? Thanks for playing. And for playing with yourself.
Katie, AdamandEve.com. For all your Valentine's needs, go there. And use the promo code ACE. Check it out. Get 50% off any item and free shipping. Katie, this was fun.
Call back anytime.
Yes, please.
This was great. Thank you guys for having me on.
Shall
send suggestions to Adam Carolla Show on Twitter of other things we can record and play the game.
Yeah, and if there's anything you'd like anyone to try out, Brian and Adam, the experts, will be happy to report back.
We'd probably try this.
Strangely, strangely compelling. Thank you, Katie.
Thank you so much.
That was fun. That was nice fun. Job, Dylan and company.
And that was Is It a Vibrator? On the Adam Carolla Show. We do a game similar as well called Is It a Fart? Just only the highest brow comedy on Adam Carolla Show. I don't know, it makes us laugh, so we hope it makes you guys laugh too. Now, this next clip is from 2019. That's this year.
That's another listener request.
Yeah. What? This is from Brad G. What he read you?
Not sure if it can be a Carolla classic, but I'm dying for this to be addressed. About a month ago, Adam did his yummy face, test on everyone. One of the questions had to do with oral sex. Adam and Brian both scored themselves 4 and 5s, which meant they almost never or never performed oral sex on their partners, which no one has commented on. We need to know more. Brad G. Actually, this has been commented on, just not on the Adam Carolla Show. Over on Easy Listening with Teresa Strasser and Gina Grad, on their Patreon bonus episode, they actually covered the yummy phase, and they did their own version of it, and they went in depth on Brian and Adam's hopefully comedic answers or information that links them to DJ Khaled. And if you want to listen to this episode, you can decide for yourself. Check it out.
All right, the yummy phase.
Do this.
I don't know. I think we need some sweet underneath.
Oh, sweet. Ironic.
Any yummy phase music. What song didn't we hear? We heard
Love Is Like Oxygen.
Love Is Like Oxygen. We'll play it. We'll bring it down a little so we don't compete here.
Sweet. For the yummy phase.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. First, you just write your number down.
Okay.
Everything's 1 through 5. Starbucks order. 1, black coffee. 2, love these drums. Black coffee with cream. 3, cream and sugar. 4, flavored.
Okay.
Some kind of flavor. And 5, like a fruity frappuccino-y, malty,
with the dome.
Smoothie, domey thing. Alcoholic drinks. 1, a gin martini. 2, Scotch on the rocks or something on the something on the rocks straight. 3, beer/red wine. 4, white wine. 5, pina colada, daiquiris, and all the fruity stuff. Steak: 1, rare. 2, medium rare. 3, medium. 4, well done. 5, weller done. Wait a minute.
Charcoal briquette.
With the AI? What is it? Oh, A1. Oh, okay. Yeah, I was going to have medium well done or whatever, but anyway. Well done with the sauce all over it. Sides.
Oh, wow.
Getting hungry.
We're really splitting hairs here.
Yeah, we're at a Morton's Steakhouse. 1, asparagus. 2, cream spinach. 3, baked potato. 4, mashed potatoes. 5, mac and cheese.
Ooh.
Gotta make a note for an extra one I've put on here. Seafood. 1, sashimi. 2, shrimp cocktail. 3, salmon. 4, calamari, the breaded variety. 5, fish and chips. Post-meal.
Cigar?
Cigar and brandy, number one.
Oh, really?
Pussy. Yeah. Pussy, zero.
Cheese. Cheese plate. Ooh. Number two. Number three, coffee / tea. Number four, pie. Number five, ice cream with cake.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Sports. Number one, UFC. Number two, boxing. Number three, football. Number four, baseball. Number five, soccer.
This is highly unscientific.
And one that I just added, eating pussy and or chugging cock.
Well, one's definitely a five.
One. One. Let me put... Let me take this dick out of my mouth and pick up a pen. One is I'm doing it now. One is I'm really into this.
Yeah.
Two, it's like, two's every time we make love. Three is sporadic. Yeah. Four, few and far between. And five, I'm going to vomit in my mouth if I have to do that.
We all got our numbers. Is that it?
That.
I can do some math now?
That is it. I'll buy you guys a little time. I'll let you do some math. All right. I have the scores here. The staff scores don't include the pussy eating.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you called that audible.
All right. Well, so we take them back.
So we got to redo it?
Take it back.
You got to adjust them. Everyone needs an adjustment on there.
It's not fair otherwise.
While they're doing that, we should give our scores, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Gina?
I come in at 17.
Ooh.
And I have the breakdown if we're going to do that. Brian?
Please. Yes, I was hard on myself. The lowest score is 5. The highest score is 40 with the oral sex question. Mm. For coffee, I scored a 3. I do like cream and sugar. Booze, I'm a gin martini guy, so a 1 there. I went 2.5 on the steak because I like medium rare, but I have had this confirmed by chefs. In L.A., they undercook your steak, so I have to order it medium to get it medium rare.
Okay, we get it.
So I gave myself a 2.5. I was fair there. Sides, I gave myself a 1.5 because I love asparagus, but I'm going to get the cream spinach sometime. Seafood, I'm a sashimi guy. 2.5 for dessert because I like the cheese flavor.
No, we can go half.
I'm going to get the coffee. Sport, football. For 3 and the oral sex thing, the cock chugging is a rare special occasion treat. I gave myself a 4 on that for a total score of 18.5.
Interesting.
18.5.
Well, I like it black, the coffee black with cream. I like scotch or anything just with maybe a little water or a little ice in it. I don't like sweet drinks. Steak, it's been a while, but I would imagine I'd order a medium. Cream spinach forever, now and always. I love sashimi. I love pie. And I've been to multiple UFC fights, so I stuck with that. And as far as the oral sex, too, when it's go time, let's do this.
Oh, yeah, man. I like that.
I 17. Like it too.
I went with the Starbucks 2, black and cream. I went with the scotch on the rocks. I like a gin martini, but I was trying to be honest.
What's your default drink?
Right. Yeah, see, sometimes you can go, I like a gin martini. Mm-hmm. I do like a gin martini, but I would more likely get a scotch on the rocks. Steak, I go medium, which is a little rare out here as well. Sides, cream spinach. And again, I love a baked potato. I love asparagus, but I would probably end up at cream spinach. And seafood, I like sashimi. It's a little hardcore for me, so I went shrimp. Shrimp cocktail, but man, it's got to be the jumbo kind.
Good, yeah.
Very good.
Squeeze some lemon on that.
Post-meal, as much as I love pie, I did like the cigar and brandy as well. UFC, although I love football, I'd say UFC's sport I'm most excited about. And eating pussy, you go 6. So 5-5 or 6. 5-7-5. I think I had a grand total. Where's my card? Oh, we've had everything adjusted here. Sorry. I think I ended up with like an 18, but somebody can figure 15. That one out. Kaylin, 22.
Whoa.
Oh, boy.
Dawson, 21. Chris, 17. Dylan, 18. Matt, 23. Gary, 15.
Wow. He likes it bitter.
Gabe, 16. So Gary's the leader in the clubhouse, at least when it comes to not being in the yummy phase.
And who's the highest?
Matt.
Is it Matt?
23. What?
Can I ask you a question, though? One thing I'm curious about.
Felt kind of Matt. They feel like Gary and Matt.
Yeah. Curious about your thought process on putting a shrimp cocktail as number two. And then when I think of fish and chips, I think of fish and chips covered in salt and vinegar.
Tartar.
I'm just wondering how that is. A shrimp cocktail seems more...
It's all about the kids. The just like the Tool tune is about rolling the window up and turning it up. When you start veering off that course and it starts getting interpreted many different ways, my kids and anyone who has kids knows they will have the fish and chips and they won't and have the breaded. Shrimp cocktail.
They're essentially fish sticks, grown up fish sticks with like tartar sauce.
Yeah,
and,
it's breaded.
Yeah, really? And you can butch it up with some vinegar, but... This just is fish and chips. The vinegar part. I love fish and chips, but so do my kids. And I don't think they're not into sashimi. And they're not into shrimp cocktails. They're sort of into salmon. They like calamari. Makes so sense. trying to pick a power rankings here. All right. So you guys, I don't know. Shoot me a tweet. Tell me what your results are.
By the way, if you want to get the best fish and chips in Southern California, go to Garrigus's restaurant, The Engine Company.
Ooh. Oh, really?
Best I've ever had in this
Really?
Town. Yes.
Wow. It's traveled far and wide.
I've said it. The fish and chips is the food version of the egg salad sandwich. Oh, wait. That's food. Shit. No, egg salad sandwich and fish and chips are the things I never order at a restaurant, but I love it every time. Right. For some reason, you always get the dip or the pastrami sandwich. You'll never order that egg salad, or you go, I'm going to have turkey. I'm being healthy or whatever. You just don't get the egg salad, it's good. When I'm on my deathbed and they go, what do you regret? I'm going to go, not stretching. I should have stretched. I hear about people stretching.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I call people and they tell me they're stretching.
Right. Or they're being stretched if they got money.
Not eating fish and chips.
Yeah.
And not eating, ordering more egg salad and gilding the lily, egg salad with the egg bread.
That's
the best.
Yeah.
Haven't had bread in 2 months.
It's like feeding your pig bacon. Emmy's got a 14. He's the winner.
All right.
Did I screw that up?
No, it wasn't written down.
Emmy's wasn't on there. Okay. All right. Well, there we have it.
And that was the yummy phase on the Adam Carolla Show. Thanks for writing that one in, Brad. Now, when Adam and Brian added those extra categories, while we were doing the game, I already made the game. It was all laid out. And Adam constantly likes to throw audibles in the middle of the show. And I'm in the engineering room just crumpling up my paper that I worked so hard on and throwing it. Like, are you kidding me? Everything out the window. But that's just how Adam rolls. He does call audibles almost every time it works, though.
I think it did actually create the game. Because I think Adam conflated the yummy phase idea with his gay aptitude tests from Loveline and the old Loveline book.
That's right.
There was some on-air yummy face testing, but never like that. So what they essentially did is you guys took the aptitude test and did a yummy face test, which was really interesting.
Yeah, and you should all take it and let us know what your scores are. All right, we have one more clip for you before we get to it. Gio, if people want to hear the full episodes of these clips, where do they go?
Podcast One Premium, home of all your favorite podcasts, the entire 10-plus years of the Adam Carolla Archive. You can find the episodes we play today, listen to the full entire show. You can find different clips, whatever you want to hear. It's the best way to listen to it.
And also, before we get to this next clip, if you have not rated and reviewed Carolla Classics on Apple Podcasts, please do so. It does help the show. Gio, we're getting a lot of great reviews, so thanks to everybody.
We got a Podbean review as well.
Ooh!
After I mentioned it, we got some love over on Podbean.
Fantastic. Well, thanks to everybody who is writing and letting everybody know that they're loving the show. It means a lot to us, so thank you.
It does.
All right. Oh, Gio, this next clip. A live one. 2013. It's in New York. Caroline's on Broadway. The great Artie Lang joins Adam on stage for What Can't Adam Complain About?
We've played a bit of this episode before, but not this entire What Can't Adam Complain About segment. So this isn't the entire... What Can't Adam Complain About with Artie Lang, Allison Rose, and Brian Bishop. It's from July of 2013. They were previously in Caroline's last year with Artie Lang doing a live show, and this is them coming back for
another round of Caroline shows, which were very fun.
Oh, and what can Adam complain about? All right.
Stuff. The world is full of it. And one man can complain about it all. This is What Can't Adam Complain About?
All right, I'm using this. Yeah.
I got him here.
All right.
We got the first one from Catherine from Brooklyn. Catherine with a C.
She out
her
there?
Last name with a C.
Oh, and Kaisa? By the way, let me say this quickly. I'm already pissed. When you ever do this, always happen. It's got to happen to you all the time. You're like signing autograph, and they go, "It's Catherine," and you go, "Is that Catherine with a C or Catherine with a K? Do I look like a Catherine with a C? No, you look like a cunt with a C. The fuck do I know? Just tell me." They get weird and offended.
Yeah.
Really? You think that's how I would spell Catherine with a C? I don't think so. I thought we had a relationship. Like, no, what do I know? I don't know why.
You're about to look like a broad with a black eye.
that's not funny.
Fuck you.
You know, domestic violence affects...
It's funny. That made your cunt comment seem tasteful.
Yeah.
That's what I'm here for.
That's right. Literally to soften my blows with blows.
This Catherine is with a K. She's in Brooklyn, and she's 23. Where are you, Catherine?
All right, so she's got to be out there somewhere. Hey, where are you?
To the right.
There, yeah. There you go. Oh, stay out of the sun, baby.
Oh, my God. All
right. I look a little burnt.
Very fair. I like that. Yeah. What's going on? Do you have a question?
So I don't think you can complain about Central Air.
Central Air. Oh, boy. I can complain about Central Air because, as I mentioned in yesterday's podcast, I went 32 fucking years of my life without feeling a stitch of it. When I used to go to my friend's house who had Central Air, I would get up at night and go sleep by the magical vent in the wall because the Corollas are such colossal losers. My dad never had a window mount air conditioner. My mom, they were divorced, hope you're sitting down. My mom had, listen, you're lucky. Your dad fell off a ladder and died fairly early. I had to fucking live with my dad, all right? You understand? You dodged a bullet. No, I'm complimenting Artie. I'm complimenting him. My dad bought a box from Sears that was a mobile swamp cooler. Like, when you have a swamp cooler, you know you're a loser, but it's up on your roof, and sometimes you forget what a loser you are. This is one that you pushed around behind you in the living room as a reminder. So this thing, which had wood grain, and by the way, putting wood grain on pieces of shit that's stamped out of pot metal in China only makes it worse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it'd be like if I took a shit and put some glitter on it and then flushed the
toilet. Yes, yeah. Oh, I've dressed it up. Like a really shitty American car from the 70s with the fake wood grain steering wheel where you've rubbed the paint off at 10 and 2 and now it's funky beige. It's worse. Just make it fucking black.
Wait,
good enough.
A swamp cooler, all I know is that whenever I'm around them, I notice that they don't work. What do they actually do?
I could replace almost any swamp cooler with this. You just hire a guy to stand next to you on really hot days and go, and you go, I think I feel it. I think I feel it.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell that
is. I feel something. I feel a little better. It makes a noise of something that's supposed to be cooling you,
right,
but it's
no
not
air
doing
comes
anything.
Out of it.
Yeah, there's no greater white trash look than one is like tilted over, you know, or leaning tower of white trash peas on top of the falling over on top of the roof. My dad.
And by the way, swamps aren't known as being cool.
It's a good point. Yeah, should be called a Nordic cooler or an iceberg cooler, igloo cooler. So my dad would push this thing around, and we'd all sit in the living room on his crappy horsehair sofa, and he'd put water in it, and then just go, and I never had Central Air. My mom had one in the window, and I always remember it because they had that weird accordion thing because the window is wider than the air conditioner. And, of course, the accordion thing got busted out. So the weird Hyman thing that stopped the elements from coming in got busted out. But that's what our cat Norman used to use is the in-and-out door. So Norman would just pop up and they'd be like, hey, there's Norman next to the air conditioner. But that was in my stepdad's room. And that's the only one. Now, my mom and my stepdad have now stepped up. This is worse than no swamp cooler and no central air. They now, in their house, instead of getting central air, they have a wall-mounted unit in every single room. So she has 11 wall-mounted units just buzzing all the fucking time, but still no central air. So
that means that every single room has a spot that's uncomfortable and a spot that's too cold.
Oh, and this. We got to the hotel. It was 1,000,000 degrees inside my room. I put the air on, and it made the hurr. And then I went to take a nap, and then I woke up sweating through my sheets. And then I realized, it's one of those hotels where you have to put the key in the thing, otherwise nothing works. Let me say something. If that is something that you have, you know, woven into your policy, make sure the asswipe behind the counter has a fucking bullhorn, and while you're walking to the elevator, he's yelling, now don't forget to put the key into that weird vagina that's next to the front door, or the air will not work. It will make a noise, but nothing will really... Give me a heads up, because I walk into a room and I throw my keys and my luggage down and I flop down on the bed.
No, it's like those 14 things you're carrying, you have to put them down again.
Right.
In the elevator and everywhere. It's a pain.
But then you do the thing where you sit down and you're like, the fucking batteries are shot on the TV. Have a huge red arrow that says nothing in this fucking thing. You can't take a piss in here if you do not put your card into this receptacle.
Right, you can't see the movies. You got to make 3 phone calls down to get the movies working. And right. Like, you spend 30 minutes to see Jack Reacher. The payoff just sucks at the end.
You guys do the, when the remote doesn't work, you do the battery roll.
Yes.
The one thumb
that
battery roll.
That works often.
Yeah, the thumb roll. That's it. I have two moves. When the hotel key card doesn't work, I have the left hand slacks on the thigh. Let's give it a good rubberoo there. Rub-a-dub. I'm no technician, but I know it works. And then when the remote doesn't work, I give the roll. I give the one thumb roll on the batteries.
Now, if that doesn't work, then do you bang the remote on your hand?
I do the bang one. Then I do the different angle one. I do a lot of moving really around. And by the way, the angle one's a horrible idea because once you get the thing where it's over your head and you're halfway out the window, what if it does work? Then what? You have to get a fucking stepladder to change the channel?
You wouldn't know anything about this, but us nerds used to have to blow on Nintendo cartridges to get them to work.
When you were done blowing each other.
I
like to make scumbag threats to the front desk. Like, if I don't get a remote that works in 5 minutes, I'm shitting in every ice machine. And if you don't believe me, just fucking try me.
All right. Do we have another? We have another one.
We do. This one is from Kit Gray. Where is this person?
Kit.
Oh,
Kit. We know Kit. What's going on, Kit? Cold glass of mangria on a hot summer night. Here's the problem. I don't know. Madame Curie, did she die of radiation poisoning?
Something
I'm going to kill myself
like
with mangria.
Yeah.
I like it a lot, like a little too much, and I'm sort of building up a tolerance, and now it's that thing where I go down in the morning and I have to hold up the bottle and go, what elf broke into my house and finished almost this entire bottle of mangria? Because all I had was a couple of glasses last night. As a matter of fact, my wife and kids have a little running joke, which is they go to bed... they sleep in the same room. They're twins. They're 7. They sleep in the same room. My wife will alternate. You know, it's her night to conk out on Sonny's bed. It's her night to conk out on
Natalia.
Natalia. Whatever. What's her nose? It's rarely her morning to make me breakfast, but it's her night to conk out on one bed or the other. And then I come in to say goodnight after I, before I'm going to go down and drink some sangria. And it makes this, it makes they make the chinga, chinga, chinga sound like they all got the ice cubes coming sound. Like sort of, I guess I'd be a lot like if you, you know, when a dog hears a can opener.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I hear the little rustling of ice cubes now. But so eventually I will be taken out by my own invention. That is my only complaint on Mangria. Thank you very much. Enjoy.
Do you have rules for yourself regarding it?
I try every night. I try to do the thing where I drink a little less than I drank the night before, but that doesn't work for anything.
No.
Like you never go. Doesn't work for cigarettes, doesn't work for masturbation, it doesn't work for killing prostitutes.
Cocaine.
It doesn't work. It's just promising yourself you're going to do a little less.
I'm going to kill one less whore.
Just one less streetwalker tonight. I'll taper down. And then maybe I'll get one of those electronic whores where it simulates killing them. Do you see the assholes walking around with the fake... the cigarettes with the batteries in them now. It's a vapor. Like I,
it's just water vapor.
But I know it's just water vapor. That's my whole point.
But that's the ad. It's a very sophisticated woman going, it's just water vapor.
Right.
I'm blowing the air.
Right. I'm so proud of it.
What if we did that with shampoo and champagne and Mangria? Oh, no. There's no problem here. This is just vaporized water. Yeah. Tastes like nothing, and I'm not high.
Right.
Whenever I see somebody smoking one of those things, I want to give them a real cigarette because I'm like, you don't understand. We want you to die.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Don't do us any fucking favors and stick around.
Yeah. It's true. It's a self-selecting group. Yeah, it's the group that smokes those phony bullshit cigarettes
are the
ones you want gone.
They're fun in a conversation, those people. Right.
Hold on. Let me not light my cigarette. Let me
take a drag off this pen.
Yeah. Let me push a button and start this cigarette up. All right. What else we got? Yeah, that thing. And by the way, that thing should work as a flashlight, too, at least.
Yes,
you
or
know
a laser
I mean?
Pointer.
A laser pointer. Like you could smoke and give a PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah. If a gay guy loses something in his lover's ass, he could find it.
I like that Liberace movie. I got to tell you.
Oh, I watched it like four times. I'm not bitching about it.
All right.
We have another one from Deborah Cashy. Cashy? From Miami, Florida. Where is Deborah?
Deborah Cashy. Yeah.
There she is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hey. Yell it out, baby.
I'll yell it out.
Oh, first you don't
all,
need to
I
now. You.
You
have a microphone. Yeah.
My husband. My complaints or non-complaints is... Can you complain about donors to Rode Hard?
Oh, wow. It's like we got a bunch of plants in the audience tonight.
What is that?
I'm making a movie. I'm making another movie. By the way, Dirty Work was on cable the other night.
That's right.
I was enjoying
it's another
that.
Another $18.
Do you even know when you get paid?
No. You know, well, Dirty Work's one of those fucking things. We shot that in Toronto, so there's some union... like loophole where you don't get residuals if it's shot out of the country.
Right.
Yeah, but other pieces of shit I've been in that I get residuals for.
Like Beer League.
Yeah, Beer League I get stuff for. I wrote that too, so that's nice. The writing checks are beautiful.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, very nice.
Jeez, I'd like to see one of those.
No, yeah, write a, you know, well, you wrote your movie, right?
Yeah, I did, but I don't know.
You get a one-time check? You gotta call the union, man, and bitch about it.
Oh, they don't like me.
There's a chance it could be like a check for 30 G's just waiting there. And the people who work for the Writers Guild, they're trained to be surprised. They're all bullshit artists. Like,
all right.
Oh, yeah, there is a check for $42,000.
Right. Wait, right. To get that check, do they have to play the movie, though?
Yeah, they don't play my movie. That's the problem. I love the fact that everyone is contributing, and we're trying to get to $1 million.
Kickstarter?
We're doing Fund Anything, and we're more than halfway there, and there's a funny video with Bryan Cranston in it and all that kind of stuff. But half the tweets I read are like, hey, rich asshole, why don't you pay for your own shit?
Yeah.
And then plus...
I didn't copy you on that.
Everyone else on the page,
like, you know, because you can do anything. It's not just about making, you know, independent movies. You can take someone. So the front page is like, Adam Carolla needs $1 million to make his movie. Underneath it, retarded Cub Scout troop needs to go to Venezuela. One of them needs a new liver. You know, it's like, $4,100. All right. But give to Adam.
Well, what is more important? I don't know. I think that's, you know.
Well, that's true. Well, that's true. You can get your kidney, and the kid's going to go on. He's going to end up working at a fucking airport security line pissing us off, whereas what I'm doing is art. That endures forever.
What's one liver versus a movie that's going to bring joy to tens of people?
Yeah.
Like, what if that kid grows up to be like a retarded Jerry Sandusky, you know?
Yeah. It's a good point. Let me tell you this.
That's redundant.
You know, the guy who shot John Lennon tried to kill himself on a beach in Maui, and some good Samaritan, although nice job, asshole, was doing, he was fishing, and he was up. This guy said, I'm going to go park over, you know, Don Ho way, and I'm going to stare at the sun coming up. And I'm going to pump carbon monoxide into my Chevette, and I'm going to end my life. And some surf fishermen, and this is one more reason to hate guys who fish. They killed John Lennon. Fishermen killed a national treasure, John Lennon. He went to go surf fishing at like 5:30 in the morning. He saw this guy passed out in his car. So he pulled the hose out, and he revived the guy, and he gave him mouth-to-mouth. They brought him back up. And then, you know, 2 years later, he's shooting John Lennon. I'd love to be married to that guy, because every time he had a little personal critique of me, I'm like, well, but at least I may have not flushed a toilet or left my fucking underpants on the floor, but at least John Lennon would be alive if I wasn't here.
Yeah, it's good practice if you save a guy from killing himself to just real quick say, look, you're not going to kill a beetle, right?
Right. Or the Who, or it goes Rolling Stone.
Kill one of the 98 Degrees jerk-offs.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to stop that.
That's fine.
Right.
Kill one of the Lachey brothers.
Yeah. A Lachey?
Lachey.
Who are they? That's so sad that we know them.
I know. It's tough.
Yeah.
Imagine if your 15-year-old son said to you he liked the group 98 Degrees.
No.
Would you ever stop punching him in the face?
Well, I feel like after he went unconscious, yeah. But just till he came back again, you know. Yeah. All right, do we... We got some news?
We
you
do.
Do some news with...
The News with Allison Rosen.
She'll read some news from her iPad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's Allison.
Boom.
Allison.
Boom.
And when it's time to wrap it up, she'll sign it off with Zip It Cut. It's Allison.
Boom.
Allison.
Boom.
Oh, by the way, Allison. Oh, sorry, you weren't first class. Brian. Brian, let's be honest.
Yeah.
We were in first class over there.
Yeah,
in,
we were.
In Virgin. Yeah. And they literally, now they used to shut the curtain and stop people from coming in, but Virgin does this thing where they put a little red magnetic rope.
They have a velvet rope.
It's a velvet rope, basically going... Whoever's up here has either sucked off Tiger Woods and or paid an extra $1,000 for their ticket, so they would like
Which
to shit in their
do?
Own commode.
Why can't it be both?
That's a good point. So they put a velvet rope up, and it's literally a red rope. It's magnetic, so it just sticks to the other side. And it was right next to my seat because I was in the back. And people were just willy-nilly stepping over the rope or just undoing it, sliding, like you own the fucking nightclub, you know what I mean? Like, who do you think this is for? Other people's assholes and urethras or possibly yours? You think this is just for half the people that are in coach or is this for everybody?
One woman just broke right through it like Usain Bolt. Which, yeah. By the way, see, when moving so fast, I thought there might have been an emergency
yeah,
situation.
Yeah, like somebody, some chick got a lean and just literally went through it like it was the Olympics. But I mean, They would put the thing up. I mean, again, here's where we're at for society. They would put the thing up, and then people meant, oh, well, I'm going to have to negotiate that when I'm on the way to shitting up the first class head. So I'll just remove that, or I can step under it, or maybe I can get on a mechanics creeper and go under the thing. But either way, I have no idea. And that's all the enforcement there was of the rope. You know what, airline?
How pitiful for you guys in first class.
I'll tell you, airline. Hold on, sweetie. You have no idea the pain seeing one of the regular people come in, the little people, shit up my precious commode. As it is, because of my height, I have to piss by leaning against that wall and putting my forehead. Someone should put a pad there for the guys over 6'1", where you can just turn yourself into an ironing board and just fall over and put your forehead against that thing. And then... Here's the airline I would fly. I'd fly an airline called Bouncer Airline. Huge, bald, black guy in a turtleneck just stands there with a clipboard. Hi, I'd like to shit. Hold on. Your asshole's not on the list. Sit the fuck back down.
You got to give him some ecstasy to get it. Yeah.
All right.
At one point, I looked... So I saw the flight attendants wheeling a cart forward, and I was like, oh, good, because I hadn't had any coffee because it was, you know, really, really early. But then the cart went all the way past the rope into the front. I thought, oh, damn it. Of course, they're going to service first class first. And then I looked, and the flight attendant was literally on her knees. Do they get down to, like, eye level with you when you're in your seat?
It'd be nice, especially if I'm in the recline position. Yeah.
Rachel, you could tell.
Yeah, she was there. If you don't know what goes on in first class, sometimes when they're giving you a foot rub, they will get down. They will drop down on a knee. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was a great experience. The last time we flew out here and we flew Virgin. Oh, no, that was JetBlue. JetBlue, Artie, this is like... All people, don't tell this to Artie or me, but they go, you could use this in your next movie. Yeah, by the way, I don't know what the batting average on. You should use this in your stand-up routine. It's never, let me grab a pencil. It's always, yeah, get the fuck out of here. But it never gets, well, what is the batting average on drunk people coming up to any comedian and go, you could use this in your routine it's ever been used?
You should make this into a skit.
All right, it's going to be my closer. I was sitting there in JetBlue, and I said, she said, would you like a beverage? And I said, yeah. She said, what'd you like? I said, light beer's good. Which one would you like? I said, I don't know, just, you know, Miller Lite, Bud Light, whatever you got. Well, which one? I said, whatever you got. She said, well, it's in the seat back menu there if you'd like to go over that. I said, no, just give me a light. It's whatever, Miller Lite, Bud Light, whatever you have. What do you have? She said, I don't remember which one we have. But it's in the seat back menu. I said, okay, but just give me the light. Whatever the American light beer is. It's Bud Light, it's Miller Light, whatever it is. It's fine with me. Just go get it. Sir, the menu's in the seat back
it's
in front of you.
It's that fucking Yard House.
I was like, just go get it. And by the way, bitch, you're the one who forgot. You forgot what beer you have on your plane. That thing that you hand 289 of out on every fucking working day of your life somehow... You're drawing a blank. But I'm going to cut you some slack and tell you it's okay to bring me whatever you have, and you're going to fucking push this one back on me. Then I swear to God, 20 minutes later, same bitch showed up with a wicker basket filled with chips and pretzels and God knows what. And I said, she said, would you like a snack? I said, what do you got there? She said, the menu's in the seat back in front of you, sir. I said, well, if you just tilt it down a little, I could see it. Sir, the menu and all the selections are in the seat back in front of you, in the menu and the options. I'm like,
is he from the literacy committee?
I don't know. Fuck it. I'm fucking reading a fourth grade level. Tilt the fucking wicker basket down.
Side note, it's weird to see a wicker basket on a plane. You don't see many things served out of wicker baskets ever
since,
like, Hickory
Farms.
It is weird because
it's like everything's made out of titanium and aluminum, and it's all this computers and technology, and then here comes Grandma Walton in her wicker basket. Yeah,
I like when they should give you a practical choice, like what color hair would you like in your omelet?
And that was Artie Lang on The Adam Carolla Show. That'll do it for Sunday's Carolla Classic. So thank you so much again for hanging out with us, listening to this show, sharing it with a friend, and enjoying yourself. We'll be back next weekend. And Gio, I have not asked you off air, so I'll ask you on air. Can we cover Labor Day?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. That's right. We're covering Labor Day next week, so you're getting three episodes next weekend. Brace yourselves.
We do it for you.
We do. All right. We'll see you then. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
I got to work on these three episodes. Mahalo and get it on.